We're privileged as we continue to worship to read again from the Bible this morning from 2 Timothy 3. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's page 1168. 2 Timothy 3. And we'll read the whole chapter. And our text is especially verse 14. But hear the word of the Lord. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he says this, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured! And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So far, the reading of God's precious word. May just the reading of it be a great joy to us and a great blessing for us by the Holy Spirit. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, do you remember what we are focusing on in our Sunday morning services during the first month of the new year? We are focusing on texts to help and direct us, especially in these troublesome and difficult times we are living in. And today, then, to help and guide and guard us, living in the tumultuous times that we do, our text is 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 to 17, and especially verse 14. There we read Paul saying to Timothy, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." As I said in this little January series, the texts preach on are also verses that have been brought to my attention just in the general work of gospel ministry. And in this case, our reading from 2 Timothy 3 was a passage read from at a recent pastoral visit that an elder and myself made with a couple in the church. And the elder who led this devotion then emphasized appropriately the words in our text, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned." The imperative verb, "continue in," could also be translated "remain with" or "be steadfast in." It refers to persevering in, sticking with, staying with something. The opposite of continuing in is turning away from, forsaking, leaving off, forgetting, and even rejecting the things you have learned. Paul instructs Timothy what he needs to do moving forward in life. You must continue in the things which you have learned, Timothy. Well, with this exhortation before us, beloved, let's consider the sermon theme. You must continue, but you must continue, yes, in the way of the Lord and His gospel word. We will cover three main thoughts under this theme. First, why, then how, and last, now. But you must continue, yes, in the way of the Lord and His gospel word. Why is this so important and urgent even? Well, the text, even the first verses of the chapter, they explain why this exhortation is so important. It surely helps us answer the question, why we must continue. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, the setting was bad, with much opposition to the gospel by the ruling authorities and lots of corruption of the gospel by false teachers. And lots of scorning and persecution against believers who were holding to the gospel, both persecution from the unbelieving Jews as well as from the followers of heathen idolatrous religions of the day. Paul tells, doesn't he, of the perilous times that they were living in with so much lawlessness, and where increasingly what is wrong was called right. And what is plainly wicked and evil was applauded as just good and normal. Along with that, there were growing attacks against God's people, and many were suffering for faithful adherence to Christian doctrine and godly convictions and conduct of life. Chillingly, verse 13 reads before verse 14, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Congregation, doesn't this sound all just so contemporary? It's describing our times too, isn't it? Our 21st century world. Actually, that's our world today, as described in the opening verses of 2 Timothy 3. Then too, in regards to the context of our text, why we need to pay attention to it, our text, we need to mention the fact that this second letter of Timothy, of the Apostle Paul's writings in the New Testament, he wrote this letter from prison. He was in prison because of his commitment to the gospel, and Paul knew in a short while he was going to be killed by the authorities. He would become a martyr for the Christian faith. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 reads, him saying to Timothy and to his readers, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul saying there, "I'm about to die for the faith." So now, you see, in that setting of ongoing danger and threat and of looming departure from them now, what is it that the apostle urges on Timothy and on all of us in the Christian church today? Is it, Timothy, keep looking for new ways to live and for better solutions to the challenges in life? Is it, you have to do well, Timothy, and just have lots of good ideas from yourself to flourish and to succeed, no matter what comes at you, and you'll do all right, you'll do okay? Is it, be confident, Timothy, and go for it, living your best, You know, you'll make it. I know you can do it. Is it live by what you think best, Timothy, and what the world promotes, and you can't go wrong? No. The apostle, rather, he urges with a holy earnestness and exhortation, continue, Timothy, in the things which you have learned. In other words, stay the course in the gospel way. and don't swerve from it in any degree whatsoever. Remain and abide in the things which you have learned. Yes, what you have learned, Timothy, not just from me, but also from the godly examples and teachings of your mother Eunice and your dear grandmother Lois, as mentioned in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. In this same letter of 2 Timothy, when you read through it, the apostle speaks of those who turned away from the truth. And he mentions people like Phygellus and Hermogenes in chapter 1, verse 15. And in chapter 4, verse 10, he mentions Demas, who was even a co-worker with the apostle in the gospel ministry, who had forsaken him, having loved this present world. So the danger is great, congregation, and ever present, that even people brought up in the Christian faith and having good and godly examples in the faith and having the Word of God before them yet turn from it and will not continue in it. It can be persecution. It can be the ridicule of the ungodly. It can be just sick of hypocrites in the church. It can be the lust of the flesh. It can be the pleasures of the world. It can be just a proud mindset. It can be a stiff-necked, rebellious heart. All that and more that has people turn away from the faith. But always, congregation, it's so sad and it's so wrong when people turn away and will not continue and abide in the way of the Lord and His gospel word. It's very sad and bad. Why? Because only the Christian way leads to life, while all other roads lead to death, even to everlasting condemnation and eternal death. The Bible tells us so. And God never lies. The devil, he's a liar, yes, from the beginning. The Bible says that even. But the Bible teaches God and Jesus. God is the truth, the way, and the life. Twice in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12, and 16, verse 25, we are forewarned by God. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So as Paul, in our text in 2 Timothy, is about to pass on, and to pass on the torch for faithful gospel ministry in the generations following him, how wise and right when we take to heart His Spirit-led urgent exhortation to Timothy, but you must continue in the things which you have learned. Dear congregation, and especially to dear children and young people, the devil is on the attack in most subtle and vicious and relentless ways to try to have you not really listen to the Word of God and not to take seriously the truths you are being taught in your Christian upbringing at home and with Christian schooling and in church life, especially too under the preaching of God's Word. Again, the next chapter of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 3, reads, the apostle forewarns about people having itching ears and heaping up for themselves false teachers of their own liking and just turning their ears from the truth and being turned aside to fables. Well, as your minister now by God's design and providence and as the ambassador of Christ among you, I plead with you all, especially you children and young people, but also everyone else as well, that you continue and remain with and be steadfast in the gospel way and the Christian truth of the Bible as you are taught it and it's modeled before you by your parents and others. If it be well with you in this life and for the life to come, you must continue in the things which you have learned. Don't stray from it, nor depart from it, but stay the course and keep on keeping on. Word. And will you let it be impressed on your mind and heart and your conscience? Even as young children, will you pray that? You must continue in the gospel way or you will be deluded in false ways ever so quickly. False ways that look so promising, so attractive, so favorable. And this is true not because I'm saying it now, but because God's Word says it. Yes, God in Christ. Will you listen? Are you listening? Do you pray and work to continue in the things which you are taught? We should notice, still under our first point, why? Why continue? What Paul mentions as three positive reasons why to continue by all means in the gospel way of life. Paul mentions, for one, about being assured or convinced of how the gospel way is the true way, the true way. Timothy was convicted of it being the truth as he grew up with a Christian upbringing. Well, is this same not true of you, each one here? Have you not, even as covenant children, even as little children, and as youth growing up, have you not been assured and convicted of God's way being plainly right and true and the best way, the most blessed way to live and to die? Would any of you, I ask, rather be raised in the way of empty Buddhism or cold Mohammedism or lifeless Judaism or lying humanism or hopeless secularism or mindless Mormonism or pagan heathenism or despairing atheism or dreadful Satanism or deluded environmentalism? I think not. You wouldn't want that. And even if you are not yet truly converted, and when you are truly converted, you know way deep down that what the Bible teaches us is exactly true and nothing but the truth in everything that it makes known to us. All who reject the Bible reject what they know deep in their hearts has to be right and is right. So don't turn away from it. What you have learned and been assured of, even as little children and as young people too, and as adults. But also, Paul mentions knowing from whom you have learned the Christian way. He mentions that as another reason to continue in the way of God's word. From whom have you learned God's word in the Christian way? What? Have you not learned it as with Timothy, in many cases from your parents, your dear parents, or your grandparents, and as well from dear church friends and church leaders, that only gospel Christian way? Have you not seen too in them how the gospel way helps give such clear direction in life and true comfort in life and death? How it gives such discernment and wisdom and how it leads in true love and hope in all the challenges that we meet with? While no parent or church leader or friend is ever perfect, have you not seen in your Christian loved ones and your Christian friends, and have you not seen an honesty and an integrity and a humility and a godliness and a joyfulness and a peacefulness that again you realize this is something unique to the Christian faith? Can we ever thank God enough for godly loved ones in the family leading us in God's ways? And for godly friends helping us in God's ways. And for godly church leaders teaching us and guiding us in the only gospel way. Are these not the most precious people in our lives? People you and I love and cherish and consider so reliable and trustworthy and such a blessing for us in our brief earthly pilgrimage. Here, by the way, we do learn, don't we, the great responsibility of all those in any position of influence on others, whether as parents or teachers or church leaders, etc. Are you and I taking care to be a godly Christian influence in the home and in church life and in all of society life, at school and work and community life, etc.? What untold damage we bring when living in any sin and excusing it and not repenting immediately and wholeheartedly. Timothy had such godly examples, to help him continue in the faith and not to be turned off and turned away from the faith. Are you and I helping by God's grace and Spirit that never ever we give cause that others be turned away from the faith and turned off from the gospel way because of our lives not being consistent in God's ways? Are we on guard enough, beloved, about this? I ask you all, as I ask myself as well, are you and I on guard about this personally, even now? Or is anyone even among us or listening online living a lie, pretending to be religious, to be pious, while indulging in secret sin, perhaps? God knows. And what damage you do when you do that. Timothy had a godly mother, Eunice, and a godly grandmother, Lois. And he had the godly, zealous example of Paul as his mentor and guide in life. What about you and me? Are you and I a godly mentor and a humble, consistent, zealous Christian influence on those our lives relate with and touch and have authority over, starting in the home and in the church family and in our communities? Timothy was so blessed with his Christian upbringing from his childhood. And don't we wish that on all our children and grandchildren in the generations following? Oh yes, that they might each and all continue in the things which they are being taught. And here, notice the third positive reason yet Paul gives for Timothy and all of us to continue in the things which we have been taught. Namely, the Holy Scriptures themselves. I mean, what a book which is able to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, Paul says in verse 15. Congregation, you know this, but we need to keep saying it. It's only in and from the Bible that we learn the gospel way of salvation. Apart from the Bible, you and I never would or even could know anything about our need of the Savior and the glory of the Savior and the way to the Savior and the way to live to His honor and the promise of eternal life in and through Him. It's only in and from the Scriptures, the Holy Bible, as given to us by God and applied to us by the Holy Spirit in our minds and hearts, that we do learn the gospel truth about our sin and misery on our own, and about the only way of salvation through Christ, the crucified and risen one, by faith and repentance before Him, and the way of true gratitude and thankful obedience and God-honoring devotion to Him in line with His Word. Congregation, we have the Bible. We have many copies. And our Belgian confession says God gave it to us out of a special care for us and our salvation. I was so struck by John Calvin in what he writes on our text in his commentary on 2 Timothy 3. I found it moving and reason for humble, joyful thankfulness. He writes, quote, "It ought to be reckoned a remarkable instance of the kindness of God if any person from his earliest years has thus acquired a knowledge of the Scriptures." It ought to be reckoned a remarkable instance of the kindness of God if any person from his earliest years has thus acquired a knowledge of the Scriptures. Well, isn't that true of us, many of us as covenant people and Christian covenant families and homes? What reason to be so thankful and to continue in the things which we are being taught and have learned. Well, will you and I continue in them? Each and everyone listening here in church and online, will you continue in the things which you have learned and keep on keeping on in that way of the Lord and His gospel word? The question is crucial for us to respond to consciously and deliberately and steadfastly. But how? How do we continue in the things which we have learned? Our second main point. The question as to how is answered also by the Apostle Paul. First of all, having us highly regard the Scriptures. Highly regard the Scriptures, verses 16 to 17. There the Apostle Paul gives his testimony about the Word of God as the divinely given lamp to our feet and the divinely given light upon our path to lead us all our journey through this life, whatever we face, and even when we meet with death. In verse 15, the Apostle speaks of the Holy Scriptures, or you could more literally translate, the sacred writings, referring specifically there to the Old Testament Scriptures. But then in verse 16, notice, Paul speaks of all Scripture. And all Scripture there means Old New Testament and New Testament, even as it was being written still under the apostles. All Scripture refers to, as one put it well, everything which through the testimony of the Holy Spirit in the church is recognized as canonical, that is, authoritative. And we know that would soon be concluded in the early church in the 66 books of the Bible. The 39 and the 27, which is the Bible, the Word of God. It's not the writings of people, those 66 books, but it is the Holy Spirit inspired, breathed out, or God breathed Word of God. As Peter also says, the elder of service read, yes, for all people in all ages and places. The Bible is the divinely inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of the one only living God who gave us this book, congregation. Who gave us this book to guide and to lead otherwise lost and blind sinners like us in the one and only way of deliverance from sin, Satan, death, and hell. And this book is given us to show us something of the infinite glories of God and the infinite beauties of Christ as Savior of sinners. Otherwise, we would never know a thing about it at all. And all this Scripture is the sword of the Spirit, which He uses still today to convict and to convert sinners, to lead sinners to be born again, to lead them in the right and good way of salvation through Jesus Christ. The Bible itself teaches us, doesn't it, the absolute necessity of the Word of God. And if we will continue in all things, we need a very high view of Scripture all our life long. We need to hold to what our Belgic Confession says in Article 5, where Guido de Bray and the Reformation Fathers and all our church today and members thereof, we testify, this is a true believer's testimony concerning the Bible, we receive all these books, the 66 books of the Bible, and these only as holy and canonical for the regulation, foundation, and confirmation of our faith, believing without any doubt all things contained in them. Well, is this also now your and my high view and testimony of the Bible? And do you too confess and resolve to continue in the things which you have learned and from this Bible? Indeed, to continue in the gospel way because yes, of your godly upbringing and because you have the Scriptures, and as Paul further emphasizes also in the verses 16 to 17, will you continue in this gospel way, considering what Scripture is and how it serves by the Holy Spirit in our lives? Paul mentions thus how all Scripture, as God-breathed word for us, is profitable, or you could say useful. Yes, most useful, and he gives at least in a fivefold way it's useful, fivefold way. All Scripture listened to and submitted to by us is useful, profitable for teaching. For teaching what? The truth of God and us and everything else. It's useful for sound doctrine about everything, over against all the lies of Satan and this fallen, ungodly world and every false religion so prevalent in our world. It's useful also for reproof, the Word of God is. Reproof also can be translated rebuke, that we might see the error of our ways, of our sinful thoughts, words, and deeds, and be admonished accordingly, and change, repent, as God's word calls us to do in our lives. It serves this way, in this way also, says Paul, for correction, to actually straighten us out, to straighten us out in our thinking and in our conduct of life, in what we do and what we don't do, and how we talk to mom and dad, and how we behave at school, etc., etc., and what we pursue and what we flee from. All scripture is useful also for instruction or training, or you could say for discipling or discipline in the life of righteousness, following God's word and will as normative in our lives, in every detail, in every responsibility, and in all relationships of our lives. So the word of God, says Paul in verse 17, is so good for making us complete, for making us whole, all for God in Christ, and for equipping the man of God unto every good work, living to God's praise and honor in our lives, always, and also for our neighbor's good. Congregation of you and I will be men and women and children and youth following after the Lord and be Christians in word and deed. That's only always in the way of being in and under and with the word of God. The gospel word, studying it, submitting to it, living according to it by God's grace and spirit in our lives. What Christians believe about the scriptures, said someone, has everything to do with their continuance and service in the faith. How true that is. And it's what Paul emphasizes in our text. And the same is what this elder emphasized in that visit we had when reading 2 Timothy 3 in that pastoral visit that we made to believing members in the church. How we must, regardless what we face, we and our children, and regardless the oppositions we may meet with, we must still be committed and diligent and steadfast and unwavering in continuing in the things which we have learned, all from the Bible and on the basis of the Bible. The scripture doesn't change over time. Though all around us we see so much change and decay and departure from the word and twisting of the word, we must, congregation, remain faithful and true to the word and live under the word. Shall it be well with us and remain well with us and with our children and with our children's children in the generations. You know, when you check through the Bible, how often this continuing in the way of God's word is exhorted to us. We read it also in our first study of Joshua, in Joshua 1. Joshua is a new leader, and it's a new time, and they're getting into the new promised land finally. But what does God say to Joshua? We studied it there in our Bible study, so profitable also even that evening. Joshua, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Another example of God urging thus his covenant people to stay with his word and will is what we read in Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, we read there, stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. The rest of the verse says, but they said, we will not walk in it. Huh. They said, we will not walk in it. Yes, most sadly so, as happened shortly after Joshua's time too. And Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, seeing the people's rebellious ways, he kept forewarning them of the destruction and the doom that was coming if they would not repent. What woe they brought upon themselves, departing from God's word and his will, and going their own wicked and idolatrous ways instead. We are taught this in God's word. For our example, God's word says, that we not stray from God's word like they did. How do we continue in God's ways? Never apart from God's word, but always by daily and weekly placing ourselves under that word and reading it diligently in personal and family devotions and being engaged in Bible studies and especially listening regularly also to the preaching of God's word. Are you and I committed to this? And will you too prayerfully, humbly, heartily, daily pledge before God and your neighbor that is that you will continue in this way, God helping you for as long as you live. Someone gave me a quote this week in my email from the church family, actually from J.C. Ryle, that reads, "We ought to be diligent Bible readers because the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. We shall never fight a good fight if we do not use it as our principal weapon. It may well be feared that there is not enough Bible reading amongst us. It is not enough to have the book. We must actually read it and pray over it ourselves. It will do us no good if it only lies still in our houses. Knowledge of the Bible can only be got by hard, regular, daily, attentive, wakeful reading." How true that is. Most certainly how urgent and important and necessary, therefore, for all who will be true Christians and will be an influence for God and good in this ungodly world, to continue in the things which you have learned by being ever much in the Word. Read Psalm 119, how the believing psalmist so loved the Word and was led and profited and guided by the Word. All Scriptures teaches us, says Jesus, about Him, ultimately, as the crucified and risen Messiah, Savior, the Redeemer we so need, the Redeemer who's so there for us in our every need as we look to Him. To reject congregation or to ignore or to despise or scorn or belittle the Bible is to remain in sin and darkness and doubt without hope and help in our every need. And then if we continue that way, to be left in the blackness of darkness forever one day. So Paul urges, do you hear it with me? With all his mind and heart, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, continue in the things which you have learned from out of God's Word and in line with God's Word and stay with it and live and die by it. For only the Bible proclaims and promises wonderful words of life in a fallen and cursed, blind world, doomed and headed for total destruction on its own under the righteous wrath of God. And his once for all final judgment. Who knows how soon now? Well, are you two, everyone here, most persuaded of this all with me? I like to believe you are. And yet it's so good to hear this, isn't it? Those most persuaded of it will say, oh, it's good to hear this. I need to be reminded. And then let me come to our third point yet. You must continue in the way of the Lord. We thought about why, and we talked about how. But now let's think about now. Do this now. And all the time. For as long as you live. You see, no one of us can afford to delay and to put off taking God and His Word seriously. Or He may leave us to our folly in turning away from Him and His Word. All of us have loved ones, more than we like to mention, who no longer continue in the way of the Bible, but instead believe all kinds of other things that are just so wrong and not true. Even as I wrote this sermon this week, I saw on Facebook about a niece of mine enamored with Buddhism. A niece of mine, just two generations. And several family members of mine are caught up in pagan environmentalism. And I have a sibling who is an atheist. And others are just humanists and moralists. Congregation, it only takes one generation. And the Christian faith and gospel way in creed and conduct can all but disappear. We see that downhill trend repeated over and over in the story of Old Testament Israel and in New Testament history since. One sad saga of all too often willful, careless, callous, wicked, not continuing in the things which they have learned from God and His Word. And you know the pressure is on in our evil times, in our perilous days, when again the easy way out is just to forget God and His Word and to be like the rest all around us in this ungodly world, and to live as we please. You know, the ungodly world and the worldly church in it also is pressuring us to give up the old paths of the true religion and the unchanging standards and norms that God has set in place. So today, it's increasingly becoming a danger for us even to maintain. Marriage must be between a man and a woman and for life. And it becomes increasingly intolerant for us to say and to maintain that same-sex relations is not to be indulged in or engaged in because it's wicked and it's abominable in God's sight. Likewise, we may be put in jail today when we, as Al Mohler said in one of his daily briefings this past week, when we misgender someone. Have you ever heard of that before? What is that? It's a him. We refuse to call him her. We're misgendering them. And that may put us in jail one day. Don't think I'm just making this up. Because leaders in the United States government are transgender people and homosexual people. And they are pushing their agenda. And it's not just in America. The same is in Canada, even with the anti-conversion law that they are pressuring to pass in our government. It's becoming increasingly challenging for us, dear congregation, to raise our children and to counsel anyone in the way of the Lord and His Word and away from the paths of sin. And more open persecution may well be coming our way. As the text also mentions, everyone who's godly will suffer persecution if we stand faithful and continue in the things which we have learned. Well, most important of all, let's not forget this. Instead of getting caught up in issues, most important is that we remain with the simple, precious gospel of Jesus Christ. The truths of God as revealed in Christ. Those truths about God and Christ and man and sin and judgment and eternity and heaven and hell. Oh, let's pray and work to be rooted and grounded in the truth and to be churches who unwaveringly stand faithful on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. All other ground is sinking sand, dear congregation. And so we implore all in Jesus' name, by the Spirit, with God as our witness. Oh, continue in the things which you have learned. The Reformed faith, truly explained from Scripture and lived out in accordance with Scripture, gives the greatest and best demonstration of the true Christian faith in all the world. Will we hold to it? Will you 5, 10, 20, 30 years from now, shall the Lord tarry in His second coming, be among those continuing in this most blessed way of the Lord in line with His Word? Let me quote here yet 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed to yourself, beloved, and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will both save yourself and those who hear you. Happy the people who live and die continuing in the things which we have learned from God's Word and throughout the ages. And isn't this what defines and describes all true Christians, really, till the last day? Therefore, beloved, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Continue in the things which you have learned. Thus says the Lord. Amen.